Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Hello, I'm Jimmy Wales. I'm the president of the Wikimedia Foundation, and I'm the founder of Wikipedia. And I've come to talk about a less technical topic than the technical guys. Wikipedia is very fortunate that in the very early days, I gave Brian the root password to help me with the server, and since then, I've been less and less involved in the technical things, which is a good thing because these guys are much better than I am. Today, what I'm going to talk about is, first of all, a quick introduction of who we are and what we're doing. Most of you will already know about this, so I'll go through it very quickly. But the meat of my talk today is basically, it's about the community. It's about how Wikipedia really works, because it's really a surprise to a lot of people, including me. I mean, if you asked me or anybody else 5 years ago, what would happen if I put up a website and just let anybody edit any page? Would that be anything? No, obviously not. It's ridiculous, right? But that's true. That's exactly what Wikipedia is, and it does work. And so it's interesting to talk about how it works and why it works. And there's basically two views that you can have about that, about how Wikipedia works. And I'm going to talk about those two different views, two different models of what the community is like. And then I'm going to give you some details about the community so you can better understand it. So first of all, a little bit about who we are and what we're doing. The Wikimedia Foundation is our nonprofit organization. We set it up basically, as you had heard earlier from Brian, it's a vehicle for us to raise money. At the present time, virtually all of the money goes towards servers. Just in the most recent quarter, we have started spending some money on travel. So, for example, we wanted to bring some of the developers together here at this conference to brainstorm ideas and work together. But that's basically it. There's no salaries. There's no salaried employees, including me. We're just a bunch of lunatics, basically. The goal of the Wikimedia Foundation, and this is the original mission statement for Wikipedia, is to distribute a free encyclopedia to every single person on the planet in their own language. So that big picture goal is a big part of what motivates the people in the community. And so that big picture is, it's more than just working on a fun, cool website, although that's a big part of it as well. It's that there's this external goal that we have that we think is very, very important. So Wikimedia Foundation basically owns the servers and runs the Wikipedia and all of the sister projects. It's funded by donations from the public, and we're applying for grants from various philanthropic organizations and things of that nature. So Wikipedia itself. Wikipedia is the freely licensed encyclopedia. It's written by thousands of volunteers. It's in many, many languages. We have the free license, the GNU free documentation license. So and that has all the features of an ordinary free license. You can copy, redistribute, modify it, redistribute your modified versions. You can do it commercially or non-commercially. We've been around since January 15th, 2001, so we're coming up on 4 years very soon here. The advantages for Wikipedia of the freely licensed content has some of the normal ones you would expect, but there's one that I think is kind of a surprise. First of all, it allows the authors to retain attribution, so people do have their work attributed. It's not a big thing in our community. Mostly people we have a social model where people are not encouraged to take ownership of an article. But it's still kind of nice. Your name's there in the edit history, and you can take credit for the work that you've done. The free license encourages volunteers because you're sure that when you contribute work to Wikipedia, it's going to remain non-proprietary. So even if I go insane or the foundation goes insane, you can always fork the content and do with it what you will. This next one is the one that I think is a little bit surprising because I think that this is something that people who are in the internet world from a business point of view would never think of it this way. But the free license actually enhances the popularity of Wikipedia because people are taking our content, mirroring it, reusing it all over the web. They're linking back to us. This is a huge driver for that Google magic. It's a huge driver for direct traffic from the mirrors. And so if it weren't for the free license, if we had a proprietary license, it seems doubtful to me that we would be anywhere near as popular as we are. And all the people who are taking our content, none of them are nearly as big as Wikipedia in terms of traffic. So that's kind of a surprising side effect of the license. Within the community, having a freely licensed project, it helps people to let go of the articles and decrease that individual sense of ownership of the articles. It's not my article. It's the project article. And we're the project. So it's a sense of shared ownership. So we care about it. We want to take care of it, but we don't get all proprietary over individual revisions. Everything we do is free software. MediaWiki, which you just heard about in the last session, is GPL. We use all free software on the website, so it's GNU, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, all the standard things. And so how big is Wikipedia? The English Wikipedia is the largest. It's over 130 million words, and that's larger than Britannica and Encarta combined. And then you were just hearing about the size of the database. In 15 months, the compressed database dumps may reach 1 terabyte in total size. That's if we keep having growth as we have. So how big is Wikipedia globally? We've got a lot of languages. We've got English, 412,000 articles. These numbers are actually a couple weeks old, so it's a little bit bigger. The second largest is German, 172,000. Then Japanese, 87,000. Japanese growing very strong. French and Swedish, surprisingly enough, or maybe it's not so surprising, but it's quite a large project as well. There's over 1.2 million articles across 200 languages. So the 200 language number is kind of a fuzzy number. A lot of those are wikis that we've set up, but that nobody's actively working on. So the real measure of how many languages we have is how many active. And so there are 19 projects, 19 languages with over 10,000 articles, and 52 with over 1,000 articles. And so that kind of gives you an idea that it really is a global multilingual project. So how popular is Wikipedia? According to Alexa is a site that ranks websites based on their toolbar, blah, blah, blah. We have no idea how meaningful or accurate it is. We're more popular than IBM, PayPal, Open Directory Project, GeoCities. And we're right around 400 million page views a month. The last time I checked was last month, and it was going to be around 375 million in November. December had good growth, so 400 million is conservative. And that's actual page views, not just objects being loaded. So that's pretty good. And the traffic has been doubling about every 3 months. Recently, we had a period where we doubled in 2 months. And it seems that the biggest obstacle to our growth is always server capacity. Basically, what happens is we get new servers, or the developers do some amazing new magic to make the site faster. And all it does is make us more popular. And then pretty soon, within a few weeks, it's back to being slow again. So, you know, maybe we should just be slow, you know, and stop the growth. So we have a lot of different projects. A lot of these came about because Wikipedia is an encyclopedia, and one of the things that makes Wikipedia work as a community is that there's very broad understanding of what an encyclopedia article should be. So if I say to you, an encyclopedia article about Berlin, everyone in this room has pretty much the same idea of what that should look like, and so it makes it really easy to collaborate and come up with a good article about Berlin. But that's by no means that doesn't exhaust the possibilities for reference work. So people started putting in dictionary entries, and those aren't really encyclopedia articles, so there was Wiktionary. And then each of these other spinoffs came because we saw a need, and we had the capacity to do it, and we had volunteers ready to do it, and so why not? We're going to support all these things. The newest two things, Wikimedia Commons, basically we've got all these projects and all these languages, and one of the things that was happening is there was a lot of duplicated effort, particularly on images. Getting freely licensed images is not an easy thing in many cases, and it doesn't make any sense for the German Wikipedia to have a freely licensed picture that isn't in English, and so on and so forth. So Wikimedia Commons is a place where people can come together and put images in that are easy to use in all of our projects, but in all projects all over. I mean, if you want a picture of something, you shouldn't have to go to 52 different language Wikipedias hoping to find it. Instead, you can just come to Wikimedia Commons, which is very fast growing, and you'd be able to find things that you could use. And then finally, the last new project is Wiki News. This is a very innovative concept of Eric, who happens to be over here, is the real driver behind it. It's basically, we looked at Wikipedia, which is very surprising that it works at all, and we said, well, why not do the same thing for news? And so that's basically just in the beta stages. It's a small community, a growing community. A lot of the challenges associated with building a good news article are different from the challenges associated with building a good encyclopedia article, and so right now we're kind of trying to stay loose and flexible and learn what it takes to do that. And so it's an experiment. It's fun. A lot of people are very excited about it. This is basically a review process. We intend that the articles will have some sort of review process so that we can say this is a published article versus this is something that we're working on. That's different from Wikipedia, but it seems necessary for a news article because a news event is a short-term duration type of event. Skip on over here. Wikimedia's hardware. This says 30 plus servers, but I think that I should have updated that. It's actually 40 at the moment. And I think I'm supposed to be ordering servers this week to get some more. You heard more about this, so if you weren't in the last talk, I'll just go over quickly. We've got squids in the front to serve cached objects quickly, then Apache PHP in the middle, and then a database back in, MySQL. There's a bunch of Apaches, there's several database servers, and the architecture that we have right now is more or less scalable. There are certain specific issues with scalability that we're working out, but it's fairly easy, for example, when we start running low on Apache CPU, to buy more Apaches. And so we can grow with our current architecture for the most part, although there are certain challenges. MediaWiki, our software, it's one of many wiki engines that are out there. I think it's probably the most full-featured, at least in terms of running a large public site. It doesn't necessarily have all of the features that some of the more commercial wikis have for inter-office collaboration and things like that, but it's quite good. And was developed primarily for Wikipedia from 2002 onwards. Scalable, it's very multilingual. I mean, we're in all these different languages, free license. We've got very good versioning. I was just recently using another wiki when I was consulting at the BBC, and I went to look at the diff between two pages on their internal wiki, and I couldn't even read it. It was ridiculous, whereas ours is nice, color-coded, beautiful. Looks like that. It's very nice, and some genius programmed that. I'm not sure who it was. It wasn't me. Customizable interface language is something new in 1.4. Traditionally, with Wikipedia, your interface language had to be in the same language as the text. That's just the way it was. You couldn't go, if you're a beginning student in German, I couldn't go to the German language Wikipedia but set all the interface to be in English. The German language Wikipedia was in German language, and that was that. That's a new feature. Was that implemented? I hope so. I heard it was going to be. So people are always asking, can Wikipedia's content be trusted? Well, we have a lot of review processes within the community. We've got votes for deletion pages. We've got tons of people doing recent changes patrol. Partly it's post-moderation. Partly it's reactive moderation. And then if you're trying to use a Wikipedia article and you think, well, I can't really cite this because it could change tomorrow, just cite a version from the version history, and that's always going to stay the same. So now I get to the bulk of my talk. That's sort of an overview of who we are and what we're doing. And what I really wanted to talk about was some thinking I've been doing and some research I've been doing about two different views of what the Wikipedia community is. And one of these views is, I think, mistaken, nonetheless very popular. So one view is that Wikipedia is an emergent phenomenon. It's pseudo-Darwinian. And the idea here is that it's thousands of people interacting like atoms, and then something amazing comes out of it. And then the other view is that there's a community of thoughtful users, and that it isn't really such an amazing, magical thing as you think, other than the fact that it's amazing that people can collaborate in this fashion. So by emergent phenomenon, the idea would be that you've got thousands and thousands of individual users, and they don't know each other, and they each contribute a little bit, and then somehow out of this emerges a coherent body of work. It's a very popular thing, and the metaphor people use is ants. You know, each little ant doesn't really know what they're doing, but working together they build an anthill and they manage to survive. Versus a community, and you can see by my choice of pictures here what I think the answer is going to be. A community is, in this case, it's a dedicated group of a few hundred volunteers who know each other, and they work really hard to guarantee the quality and integrity of the content. So there are implications from these two different ways of looking at it. If you think about something that's an emergent model, then you need some sort of reputation mechanism like eBay has or Slashdot. And this is often recommended on the mailing list. People come on and say, why don't we have a way to rate users, or why don't we have a way to do this or that, meta moderation or something. And they're thinking of a numerical system. And The alternative to that is that reputation within the community is just like reputation in any other area. It's a natural outgrowth of human interactions. People know each other. You come to know which users are good and who you can trust and who you can't trust and who you have to keep an eye on. And it's a much richer version of reputation, and it's something that you can only do if you have people who know each other. In the emergent model, users are tiny. They have no power. There's just thousands and thousands of little individual people who come in and make one change or write a sentence or a paragraph here and there. They come and they go. They have no real power over how the system works. And the implication of the community model is that the users are very powerful and must be respected, that there is this group of people who actually do all the work, and they have to be listened to in order for the site to be successful because they're the ones doing the work. And so what I discovered, I was looking in the edit history and asking myself, which of these two models is really true? And the results were even, I was biased already towards the community model just because of my own experiences in the community, but the results were surprising even to me. So I went through and I counted only logged in users, and I even excluded some of our prominent approved bot users. The one you saw the spike on the graph in the previous talk when we added 30,000 articles Robot wrote. There's some question, do we consider that as a person writing an article, or how do we consider that? I would consider it a person writing an article because the person basically came up with the framework and wrote the program and inserted the data, but we won't count that. We'll just count, I eliminated the most prominent bots and counted only the logged in users. Anonymous edits are something else I'm going to talk about, and that's another story, but I just wanted to look at this in this way. And it turns out that 10% of our users, 10% of all the people who edit as logged in users make 80% of all the edits. And 5% of the users make 66%. And this one is the one that really caught my eye. Half of all of the edits to Wikipedia are made by just 2.5% of all the users. And so while it is true that you can go and edit a page today, you can log in, make an edit, it turns out that sort of thing isn't really what drives the community. It's this 10% of users, this 5%, this 2.5%. This is the core group of several hundred people who are active, very, very active on the site all the time. And this is actually how Wikipedia functions. So this sort of explains how we can deal with problems of vandalism and things like that. There's this very dedicated core group of people, and then there's a few people making small changes here and there, and they're just quickly reviewed. So we also have editing by anonymous users. You don't even have to log in. This is sometimes controversial within the community, although there's overwhelming opinion that we should keep it because it doesn't seem to hurt anything. It's a very intriguing concept, and I think it's one of the things that actually draws people into the community in the very early days. It takes almost no effort to get involved in Wikipedia, and a lot of very active, very good users report that, yeah, you know, the first few edits I made, I actually was here for a month before I ever even bothered to log in. They just came to the site, they clicked on edit, and they made a change and saved it and were astounded that they could do that. It's really true. You can edit almost every page of Wikipedia. We do have a few pages that are locked to deal with temporary vandalism or some sort of policy pages, things that just don't make sense to edit but happen to be in the wiki. And you can do all these things without logging in. But the edits by anonymous users actually make up only around 18% of all edits, and there's some evidence of a downward trend over time. Very slight downward trend. It used to be around 23%, and in the last couple of years it's 18%. I think that's probably a pretty stable number, but it was surprising to me because one of the things that we thought very early on is, yeah, we can keep editing open, but as Wikipedia becomes more and more popular with, you know, 400 million, 800 million, you know, what happens when we get to a billion page views? Is it going to be that all of the core users are just going to be overwhelmed by random people wandering in from AOL or what have you and making edits? It doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like that's a fairly stable thing, and it's not been a problem. And, of course, even of the 18%, a lot of regular users report that they sometimes edit anonymously, either by accident, and I'm probably the worst offender here. I always forget to log in and I edit things, or as a quiet form of sock puppeting. I'll talk about sock puppeting in a minute. In the namespaces of Wikipedia, I only looked at these four namespaces because of what I was interested in is users and the articles. There's also a ton of policy pages that could be looked at. But if you look at the total number of edits, 85% of the edits are to the articles. Only 8% are to the talk pages, which is sort of surprising to me because people are supposed to talk about things on the talk pages, but it turns out that they edit the articles a lot more than the talk pages. People's user pages, 3%, and then user talk pages, 4%. And that's not so surprising. For the most part, people tend to only edit their own user page, but people leave each other messages on their user talk pages all the time. And those percentages are stable in 2003 and 2004, so that seems to be pretty much the way it works. So my conclusion, my tentative conclusion here, is that Wikipedia really shouldn't be thought of as this thousands and thousands of people in an emergent phenomenon model. It should be thought of as a community, a core group of users. So then the next question that comes to mind is, well, how does this community really work? Can you understand how this community works so that maybe you could build a similar community? What are the different aspects of it? Who are the users and how do they self-regulate? So there are many, many different types of users at Wikipedia, many types of people, and these types are reflected in the editing patterns. Different people edit different parts of the site. They edit in different ways. There are different styles. And I've been looking at what are some of these different styles and trying to come up with categories. Individual users may or may not fit into a single type, of course. Some of the types that I'm going to show you, I've made up basically stereotypical names for different types of users because it gives you conceptually a way to think about it. But I don't mean to imply that people necessarily fit into any one category. Some people do. Some people are purely one type of user and that's all they do. But most of us do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and sort of have a tendency in one direction. So we've got several broad types. I've got the social types, article types, policy types, controversy lovers, pseudo users, and then I want to talk a little bit about extra wiki activity. There's a lot of community activity that it can't really be described by your edit history on the site because it's not going on the wiki itself. So for the social types, the first one I wanted to talk about is what I'm calling the bees. The worker bees, basically. These are the most important users at Wikipedia, and this is why I wanted to talk about them. They're the most important because these are the people who actually do the work. And what's interesting about this is that a lot of the people who are doing some of the very best work may go unnoticed unless we take special attention to seek them out and thank them for their work. And the reason for this is one way to get really, really well known in the community really fast is to be a complete jerk and everybody's having a flame war about you. So yeah, you're famous, but are you really the best user? No. The other way to get really famous in the community is to deal with the problem users. There are very good people, good at mediation and so forth, who end up spending a lot of time dealing with problem users. They get to be well known in the community because everybody's all abuzz about what's going on. Meanwhile, in some other parts of the site, people are just minding their own business and getting their work done. And those are really important people that we should always think about. Among the people who are doing work on the site, there are generalists. There are people who work in all kinds of different areas. They just seek out what's being done. There are a lot of different projects that you can join. People may see that, gee, there's this great idea to do this, history of poetry project, and there's not enough people. So I've always been kind of interested. I'm going to jump in and try to help out with that. And then there are specialists. These are people who come to Wikipedia with some prior interest. We have some of this most fantastic articles about trains. I never knew this until recently because I can't imagine who cares about trains, but they exist. I think they're all in England, but they write these huge, long, detailed articles about the history of all the different kinds of trains, including how many wheels they have and things like that at different times. It's great stuff, and if you have an interest in that area, you can go in there and you've just found the ultimate resource. And even if you don't have an interest in the area, as I personally don't so much, it was fascinating. I mean, I read a couple articles and I said, oh, okay, this is good. Nice. Then there are people like proofreaders. There are some people, and these are people that I haven't yet actually devised exactly how I want to measure this, but at some point I want to have some statistic or some cute thing to say about. There are some people whose edit histories consist entirely of very small changes, and how do you define that exactly? But I've seen these people who are basically unknown in the community, and all they do is they read Wikipedia and they make small grammar changes or spell fixes. It's great work, and it may not be noticed. Maybe Germans, yes, maybe so. Well, in fact, you've given me a research hypothesis, because one of the things that I want to do is the kinds of analysis that I've been doing, I want to carry it out in different languages and actually compare the results. An example along those lines, I have heard from two or three of the Japanese users that they feel it's much, much more common in Japanese Wikipedia to discuss things first endlessly on the talk page and then finally, once they've reached consensus, change the article. Whereas in English Wikipedia, what we tend to do is change the article and then fight about it. And okay, so that's a hypothesis, right? And we should see it reflected in how many edits there are proportionally to the different namespaces. It will be very interesting to me to find out that that's true, but it would be maybe equally interesting to find out that it's not true, that, that the two communities are more alike than they thought, and that our preconceptions of what the two cultures would be like have given us this idea of how things are done. Interesting stuff. So, okay, so then from the bees, we go to the sock puppet. The bees I put first. The rest of these are in more or less random order as I was making my slides and finding the photos. A sock puppet is our term for somebody who's editing under more than one account. And not all sock puppets are bad. In fact, I normally don't use the terminology this way. I say just because you've got two accounts, that doesn't mean it's a sock puppet. I restrict the term more. And different people use it different ways. But the idea is that there can be legitimate reasons for people to edit under more than one account. One example is privacy. You may be a professional biologist and you're writing articles in biology under your own name, and you don't mind that your colleagues know that you're doing it and you're proud of your work. But maybe on the side you're actually a Britney Spears fan and you've written, you know, 27 pages about Britney Spears and you're a little embarrassed by this. Okay, well, it's a legitimate hobby, but maybe you don't want to share it with everybody, so you edit under two different accounts. That's a perfectly normal, valid reason to have two accounts. Another reason is that sometimes users come in and they behave in a certain bad way for a little while, and then they realize, you know, hey, this isn't really that much fun. I'm just making people mad, and it's kind of stupid, and I really do like Wikipedia. When people email me and they say, I'm really sorry about how I acted, can you tell people to, you know, I say, well, you know, why don't you just make up a new name and just edit quietly under a new name for a while, and you've got a chance to start over. I mean, it's the internet. Nobody knows who you are. So that's another reason people might have more than one account that can be legitimate. It's not legitimate if they keep their old bad persona and still keep causing trouble, of course. But and in fact, so sock puppetry, when it's used wrongly, is one of the worst offenses within the community. And this is widely agreed. This is not just my view. And the reason is that this open editing model really depends on trust. It really depends on assuming good faith about other people. And so when people have multiple accounts and they come in and they comment or they argue with themselves or they vote twice on something that's being voted on, that's really not cool because it's undermining the trust that we have. It undermines our sense of reputation, our sense of stability. It's just really not a very nice thing to do. Another type of user is the judge. And these are the kinds of people who end up in English Wikipedia on arbitration committee or mediation committee. Or they spend a lot of time doing casual arbitration and mediation. And by judge, I don't mean somebody who's really into judging others. I mean somebody who really wants to follow a judicial process and come to a resolution of conflict that's fair to all parties. And some people specialize in this, and you can find these people editing policy pages, entering into dispute resolution mechanisms and things like that. Another type of user is what I'm calling the moth. This is the person who's drawn to flames. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, there are people who you can find them editing on articles that if you didn't really know what was controversial in human society, you would be curious as to why they are interested in both, you know, Israeli-Palestinian issues and, you know, abortion and the names of towns in Poland is one of our more controversial. Do you call them by the German name or the Polish name? And don't get people started on that one. So some people are drawn to flames, and sometimes that's good because sometimes these are users who they don't really have a vested interest in the answer to the question. They're interested in controversy. They're interested in conflict, and they thrive on it. And they come in and they try to solve things. Unfortunately, even though it's not necessarily a bad thing, I think usually it is a bad thing. Most of the people who are drawn to the flame wars like flaming, and so that's they're kind of difficult people. But I think people like this can also be identified as a type of user. Vandalism, the pure vandal is less of a problem for the community than most people assume. It's the first question most people ask when they find out you can edit every page is, what do you do about people vandalizing the site? Well, the answer is we just revert it, and we block the IP number. It slows them down, takes the fun out of it. If you can understand the hack value, the challenge of putting fuck you on the front page of Microsoft, right? But doing it at Wikipedia is so easy, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, was it fun? Okay, good. So then I didn't. There's a lot more that it could be said about different types of users and different types of people. And I'm just restricted basically at the moment in thinking of cute names and coming up with pictures. But the idea here is to think about or to understand that different people come to Wikipedia with different motivations and they do different kinds of things. And so outside the context, I've been talking about people's edit histories and what they're actually editing on the site. And then outside that, within the community, there are people who are very much participants in the project who don't edit all that much. In fact, as for me, they tell me that if I put my name up for adminship in the English Wikipedia, I wouldn't make it because I don't make enough edits. I've only got about 800 edits, I think, and they require 1,000 now, so good thing I got in early. But outside the wiki context, we've got the developers. So you saw some of the developers. A lot of the developers are actually here. And then within the developers, there's an enormous amount of overlap, but there are people who are pure coders and people who are system admins, the people actually running the site on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of those are the same people, but I think over time there's beginning to be enough people involved that we're starting to see some specialization and separation of roles. We have, for example, James Day basically doesn't do any coding, but he basically manages the database servers and is basically online day and night, keeping an eye on the servers. And there's other people like him who are doing that. We've got the IRC channels. That we've got over 40 IRC channels now. The most active channel is just Wikipedia. This is all on Freenode, not Freenode.net. The Wikipedia channel normally has about 150 people in there, lurking, talking, whatever. It's kind of a noisy channel, so I actually personally don't go in there all that much because there's a lot of chit-chat, but then there's a lot of just really ongoing work. For example, if a vandal comes and starts wrecking a bunch of pages, the call will go out immediately in IRC, and some of those 150 people will immediately jump on it, start reverting the changes, block the user, and keep an eye on things. So those kind of other channels of communication besides the wiki itself are important to understand. And again, this is something that's very different from that emergent phenomenon model. And then we have the mailing lists. And we've got, I think, over 40 mailing lists. And some of them are very, very active. And this is where a lot of policy discussions go on. Mailing list turns out to be a little bit better technology for ongoing discussions and ongoing and ongoing and ongoing, going, as you can imagine. And so there are users who really don't edit very much, but who are very active on the mailing list. And so again, this is not a bad thing. I mean, sometimes some very, very thoughtful people are on the mailing list giving recommendations and advice, but they're not necessarily active in the Wikipedia, and so they aren't the worker bee, but they're very well known in the community because everybody reads about them from the mailing list discussions and things like that. So how is all this governed? What is the governance model of Wikipedia? And so people, you know, they want to know, well, how do you decide things? Do you have votes? Are you the benevolent dictator? How does this all work? And the answer really is that it's a very confusing but workable mix of consensus. Consensus is one of our main principles. That's the idea that we really, really, really like to avoid voting or any kind of an answer to a question that involves one side winning out over another. I mean, sometimes it's absolutely necessary. You have to have a decision and you have to pick one of two incompatible alternatives. But what we really prefer to do is to try to think through that and say, well, what is really the underlying issue here that we could address that would get everybody on the same page? Is there a compromise, or is there an even better idea that we haven't thought of? And so we spend a lot of time really looking for consensus, which we don't always come to. So then we have votes. Anybody can make a page and say we're going to vote on this. Whether or not that vote carries any weight is another matter. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And it only does if it's there's different rules for different types of things, but what it really boils down to is if the vote is a means of getting consensus, then it will work. In other words, if people say, I want A, you want B, but even though I want A, I'm willing to go along with the majority, so let's have a vote. And then once B wins, I say, okay, I'm going to support B. And so in a case like that, I don't feel like I lost. It was just, you know, we had to have a decision. It didn't go the way I wanted, but it was close enough. We also have an element of aristocracy, and what I mean by this is that there are people who are admins. Admins are supposed to only use their powers for in a technical way. You're not supposed to, for example, protect a page or block somebody from editing in anything that you are actively involved in. But as it turns out, within the community, since there is this small core group of people, there are users who are very widely respected and who can basically do whatever they want. And they can only do whatever they want, though they are constrained by using good sense and good judgment. Maybe we don't have an exact rule that says you can't have an edit war on the main page. But when somebody does it and they become annoying over a period of hours and somebody blocks them for 24 hours, it flies. As long as the person who did it is well-respected and as long as the person who was doing the bad thing was just being a jerk, everybody says, okay, well, we didn't really have a rule for this, but that's okay. It needed to be done. And that is very informal. I mean, there's no real way to say who kind of has that kind of authority within the community. It's not an official thing. It's really, again, it's something that we could try to implement by some sort of trust mechanism. If you have at least 1,000 karma points, you can do whatever you want. That would be a bad idea. Instead, it's a human community, and so it's just like in any kind of organization, any kind of either a business or a social organization. There are people who everybody trusts and says, okay, well, we're going to do what they say because we know they've got the best interest at heart. And then we have, finally, a little bit of monarchy, and that's my role, basically. From the very beginning, I've always rejected the idea of benevolent dictator. And I read in Wikipedia that the reason that I do this is because I don't think it scales well to a large project like Wikipedia. But I can tell you, I never thought that until I read it as my belief in Wikipedia. But it must be true. It was in Wikipedia. I think really the reason that I didn't like the term benevolent dictator is it's more of a personal matter of my personality, that I it's not my style to like tell people what to do and try to rule over them. At the same time, though, it's well known in the free software community that this role within a project can be very valuable, that there are times when a decision needs to be made. There's a rift within the community. People are having a hard time deciding. And it's nice to be able to just say, okay, well, Jimbo said blah, so that's what we're going to do. And again, it's an illusory type of power within a community. I can only be the monarch as long as I do what everybody wants me to do. In other words, you have to basically represent what people want or people are going to flip out. And it's really only a matter of convenience. It's a matter of convenience and it's also a matter of history. When you have a very young project and it's just started out, and you know I'm sort of setting things up and I'm getting people to participate, it just naturally happens that way. Over time, and I like the term constitutional monarch because I like my role to be more and more like the Queen of England, which is no political power at all. I just, you know, get to ride around and wave at people. That's the best, right? I actually made this the same kind of comment when I was giving a talk in Paris, and then it didn't go over so well, and I remembered the French, you know. So, but you know, in England, they understand this. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're the queen, sure, okay. So, Wikipedians are flexible about the social methodology, and that's been one of the real strengths of the community, is that we value the results over the process. So, what that means is, you'll hear time and time again from people, does this contribute to creating a high-quality, free encyclopedia or not? And that's the real question that unites the community. And so it's very easy, it would be very easy for a project to say, well, we decided early on that we're going to vote on everything. And then you have this very unwieldy process that, yeah, voting's great for some things, it's not great for other things. What we've tried to do is basically stay flexible about our social methodology. We try to avoid voting, but if we have to vote, we vote. We try to avoid asking what Jimbo thinks, but if that's the only thing that we can do, that's what we do. And that's actually worked very, very well for us, and it helps us to scale well. We aren't pre-committed to a process that runs into a speed bump later on. So we already have a very large community, and so you know, how can we scale to be even larger? And a lot of this has to do with software features. There are always new features and new ideas coming into the software to help us to better manage vandalism, to help us better manage the different kinds of challenges that we have. Through policy, the formation of policy is an ongoing thing, mediation, arbitration. But I think really the most important thing is through an atmosphere of love and respect within the community, that basically we love the work that we're doing, and because of that, we should love and respect each other. And if you can do that, you can get through a lot of challenges and say, okay, well, you know, this person's being a jerk, but they're doing good work on this area, so I'm going to try my best to work with them or to give in on some points. If you don't have that, and it's a human thing, then all the software in the world doesn't help you. I mean, you can't do something like Wikipedia if the environment in the community is bitter and angry and fighting all the time. Now, of course, if you read the mailing list, you might think I'm living in fantasy world, but that's sort of my job, you know, within the community, is to remind everybody it is a fantasy world. I mean, we're doing something that's really amazing, and we can keep doing it as long as we keep our minds focused on what we're trying to do and not, you know, let some latest argument tear the community apart and make people too mad at each other. Towards that end, we've got the neutral point of view policy, which I just want to say a couple things about. Within the community, NPOV, it's a term of jargon. The reason that we have NPOV policy is twofold. First of all, it's the right thing to do in an encyclopedia. An encyclopedia is a basic reference work. It should not be a work of political advocacy or religious advocacy. The idea is you give people the information, the tools they need to make their own decisions. We're not going to make any assumptions about who the readers are or what we want to force them to believe. We just give them the information and let them decide. But it's also important, not just as what an encyclopedia should do, but it's also important because it's a social concept of cooperation, and it avoids some tricky philosophical issues. If you want to talk about what's true or what's objective, that gets to be very difficult. And so replacing that whole argument with the idea that we've got this social concept of neutrality, which basically says you try to write in such a fashion that people on both sides or multiple sides can agree at least that the presentation is fair. It empowers you to get people together from very diverse backgrounds to work together. And if they're people of goodwill, they can do it. I mean, you may have a very different opinion of George Bush from someone else. And so you've got two people with very different opinions, but both can agree, hey, this is an encyclopedia article. It shouldn't be all about bashing Bush. It shouldn't be a piece that's all about praising Bush. It should basically give the facts and let people make up their own minds. It's obviously a challenge, but it's the challenge of good writing. It's not a challenge that's unique to Wikipedia. And what's interesting about it is we have a new model for how to generate neutrality, and that is the wiki editing and massive collaboration. I think it works really well. So we've got all these quality control features that enable us to have community self-regulation. So the recent changes, watch lists, related changes, these are all techniques that we use to keep an eye on the content. We've got all the community features, talk pages, user profiles, access levels. In other words, not everyone can delete a page because that causes a lot of trouble on the server. People can send email. There's a lot of communication that's out of band, a lot of communications that's on the site. All these things help the community to regulate itself because there's a massive amount of communication that's going on all the time within this core group within the community. And as an example for this and how the software interacts with the actual community and how the community is organized, you can look at the votes for deletion page. We realized very early on somebody comes and they create a new article, ASDF, ASDF. This isn't an article. It can't ever become an article because it doesn't make any sense. It's random letters. It should be deleted. But how do you decide what should be deleted? You can't just leave that up to everybody because it causes havoc on the site. And so the community devised the votes for deletion page. And as you can see, it's actually a wiki page. And sometimes people say, gee, why don't we have some software that actually tabulates the votes, and then at the end of the voting period, the article will be automatically deleted. And the reason is, again, you're thinking, when you think in that direction, you're thinking of this thousands of unrelated people and an emergent phenomenon, so you need some sort of votes. And, well, who can vote, right? You need to know who they are, and do they have a reputation number that's above 500 or something? No, basically, by keeping it in the wiki, we keep it at the human level. I can look right here, and I can say, JFW says delete, DCE Edwards says keep. I know who those two people are. And at the end of the time period, it can be up to an administrator to make a judgment call. Sometimes someone might, the article might be really on the verge of being deleted, but somebody decides it's a poor, sad little kitten and decides to adopt it and make it better. And, you know, within one day, when the article was about to be deleted, it turns into a really good article. And it surprises everybody, and then generally it won't be deleted because the end user basically gets to decide, the administrator decides what to do. And that's something that would be very hard to do. And also you see here there's a comment. First this person said tentative week, and then they said keep, and gave an explanation of why. And that helps other people to decide how they're going to vote as well. It's an international community, and so that's another aspect of how this all works. If you go into those IRC channels, they're generally in English because that's the language that's common to the most people, but it's not at all uncommon in the Wikimedia Foundation channel, which is where I hang out the most, for the conversation to lapse into German or French or a little Japanese. There's a couple Japanese people who come by and some of us who try a few words of bad Japanese. But we really try to encourage that international thinking and to basically say this isn't an English-only project, that we really want it to be strong in many, many languages. And that actually helps build the quality of the content because we have people from diverse viewpoints, and it's just the right thing to do. So my conclusion, Wikipedia is a community. You really shouldn't think of it as thousands and thousands of random individuals doing something, and by some miraculous process it comes out working. It's basically a core group of really dedicated, good people who are doing a lot of work every day to keep it on track. And because of this, some of the implications that I talked about of which type of community it is, if I had done this research, even though I was biased in one direction, if I had done this research and said, gosh, I've been hanging out with all these Wikipedians, and I know these couple, 200-300 people, it turns out they're only doing 1% of the work. There's this other 99% out there. Those are the people I should be concerned about. I think we need some software mechanism for those people to be able to express their opinion. No, that's not my conclusion. My conclusion is that any kind of automated and artificial karma point metrics and things like that are not needed, and they actually may be undesirable because those kinds of mechanisms can have an impact on the community. Instead of building a good reputation by doing good work and being nice to people and things like that, you can begin writing or doing work aimed at gaming the mechanism, and so that might encourage side effects and types of behavior that are not desirable. But I think this also means that the process, the goal that we have for ourselves of achieving the quality levels that equal or exceed traditional publishing models is something that we can expect to do. We don't need any kind of magic. We don't need any kind of mysterious new inventions for how to get to that next stage. We've got a group of people that is similar in more ways than you would have thought to the staff at Britannica, where I will guarantee you they have many of the same types of people and the same types of internal arguments. Obviously, we are not like that because we cannot have an authoritarian-style top-down management. Everybody would quit if I was mean to them. And so everything has to come from the grassroots. But what I think this means is that we can do it, that we can get from where we are now, which is where we have very high average quality articles, but anything might be broken at any time. We can get to a release version that is as good as Brockhaus or Britannica by continuing to do what we're doing and working out processes within the community that will get us there. And that's the end of my talk. So I'm not sure about questions. I don't know who's in here next or who's in charge of that, but if there are any questions, I'm more than happy to answer questions.
One question, please.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I missed the figure, but how many distinct users do we have at the moment about?
How many distinct users as measured by, well, there's a couple of metrics that I would quote normally. The number of people who will make at least 5 edits this month in English Wikipedia alone is around 10,000 people. and the number of people who will make at least 100 edits is about 2,000 people. And so those are, somebody who's making at least 100 edits is fairly active, but what my research suggests to me is that it's the next tinier group of people that makes the bulk of the edits. And I don't really have an exact number for that other than 2.5% of edits.
Sorry.
Yes.
Question here.
Yes.
Do you have external factors like managing a Wikipedia is well, it's internal. You have it. It's under control. But once you get into the news, and then it maybe becomes more political. Are there external factors that influence well your work and your the community as a whole, like politics or legal issues?
We've been very fortunate as far as legal issues go. We've really never had any kinds of problems. There's the usual questions of copyright, but we, you know, for example, we are not Napster. We're not really trying to do that. We don't allow people to upload copyrighted material that's not under a free license. Basically, so far so good. We don't really have any major problems like that. We also haven't had any real problems of a concerted drive by any one group of people to come in and really force an article to go a certain way. I think that it's really important to recognize that within this core group of the community, we know we've got problem users, but we talk about POV pushers, people who are pushing a particular point of view, and that's something we don't like as a community. We find it problematic. And so if somebody came in and really tried an organized effort to make the encyclopedia political in some way, it would be resisted by the users, by this core group of users, even if we liked the politics. I've had more than one reporter say to me, oh, I heard there was some sort of freely licensed encyclopedia, GNU license. So I went to read the article about Microsoft because I was sure it was going to be a screed. And turns out it's actually a very balanced article. And that's because there are a lot of good people in the community who are committed to that kind of neutrality.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. A friend of mine had an article deleted on Wikipedia, basically because probably it was for the majority of the users. The article stayed there for almost a year, and then something else drew attention to it, and then a majority of people started discussing it, and a majority voted to delete the article. And so I ask, is the neutral point of view rather that defined by simply by the majority? Is that neutral?
Well, typically the idea there would be it's a very difficult process to figure out what do we delete and what do we keep. It's easy for certain things. If it's just nonsense words, obviously we're going to delete that. If the article is Germany, obviously we keep it. But then there's always going to be a gray area, and so the question is, how do we draw that gray area? That, again, that has to come from the community. There's no way for me top-down to say what we're going to keep and what we're going to delete. I can set some general ideas or some general principles, or I can argue for those, that we should be as inclusive as possible, that we should care about things about verifiability and so on and so forth. But ultimately, it has to come down to the users, and it really shouldn't be, even at that stage, it shouldn't be just simply a majority decision. I mean, typically, was this in the German Wikipedia?
No, English.
In English.
Was it? Yeah.
I mean, typically, a simple majority won't get it deleted. It has to be a larger number than that. And even then,
it was two-thirds. It was
two-thirds. Yeah,
political concept and called liquid democracy and.
Yeah. What I mean, sometimes the reasons for deletion are, that it can't be verified or that it really should be subsumed under another topic. I really can't comment on the specifics.
Yeah, there was a discussion about.
I think
many things.
The one thing I would say is that within the community, there's always this tension, or people talk about deletionists and inclusionists and or completionists, and people sort of come down on different areas of that spectrum. As for me, I've decided to take a different approach, which I didn't come up with this term, but I'm an eventualist, which is to say when something comes up for votes for deletion, the community almost always gets it right, but sometimes gets it wrong, but that eventually it'll be right. And so if this concept, liquid democracy, is verifiable, it can be explained, there's references and sites, somebody could come in and start. I mean, there's nothing to stop you from starting the article again today, although I wouldn't recommend it if it was just deleted last week because people will get mad. But
in the meantime, it means that a two-third majority defines what is neutral.
In a sense, but if say people said we're going to start voting on the articles and the content of the articles, and a two-third majority is going to determine what the George Bush article should say, for example, then that's where the monarchy comes into play, that I would say, no, we're not going to do it that way. But I mean, I wouldn't have to do that because no one, I've never known of anyone who said, well, we should give up neutrality and just go for what the majority wants. It's just that we have to have some sort of objective means. I mean, the only alternative is let people keep whatever they like, and which doesn't really work. So,
next point. Can you tell us a little bit about how the Wiki Foundation works together with commercial companies and about money issues in general?
Okay. We buy servers, and that's about it. We have a hosting company who we pay for bandwidth and so forth. In the future, so that's kind of a joke answer, right? Because in the future, there will be a need for additional sources of support, and if that comes from companies, that can be fine. We have, I'm talking to some people at Google about, they want to host some servers for us. They want to maybe host some of the images for us, because they can do that. And they're doing that just because they love Wikipedia. And the real key to that is, whatever we may end up doing in terms of working with companies in the future, the independence of the Wikimedia Foundation is absolutely essential. And the reason it's absolutely essential is, one, I really strongly believe in it. But then the second reason is that the community really strongly believes in it. And so that, again, it's one of the implications of this, of what I'm talking about today. If Wikipedia was written by 100,000 people making two edits each, I could do what I want, and they're not going to be able to organize themselves to fork. These 300-400 people who are the core of Wikipedia community, they tell me what to do, and they are organized, and if I'm not doing the right things, they're going to leave. So anything that we do end up doing with companies is going to be very carefully vetted by the community. It's absolutely necessary in order for the project to continue to grow. So, someone who's in charge can kick me off the stage whenever, but I'm happy to stay up here for hours if, you know. Or is this like a wiki conference and nobody's really in charge? Because then I probably will be up here for hours. Okay. Yeah, here.
Yeah, one more question about the neutral point of view. I don't know if I got you right. So you said if people don't agree, then it's a bad idea to vote. Generally, it's a bad idea to vote. But there might be cases where this is really necessary. Because, for instance, what happens if someone comes in and posts some historic revisionism, like Auschwitz, it's all a lie? I suppose you won't say we put a line in there, some people don't believe in this.
Yeah. Like the way I always joke about that is that the neutral point of view doesn't mean that in our article about the moon, we say some people say it's made of rocks and some say cheese. You know, that's not what we mean by neutral. There are a lot of techniques for achieving consensus and neutrality that don't involve basically having to state on an equal basis even very very extreme and strange points of view that no one really supports except for one or two lunatics. If there is a significant group of people who has a perspective and they have books that they're writing and things like that, then absolutely, that needs to be covered in the encyclopedia. It needs to be explained, but it doesn't need to be explained as being on an equal footing. So, for example, if I'm sure there's an article on the Flat Earth Society, right? But we don't put this into our articles on physics or geography as saying, well, there are some people who think the Earth is flat. Maybe that's going to be a C also or something like that. But really, a lot of this has to do with that the neutral point of view policy is really this social concept of cooperation, of trying to find a way to accommodate people as best we can, and really trying to avoid those kinds of philosophical issues. And I mean, some of these things, it's just, if you want to get really philosophical about it, it's very, very difficult to be neutral about certain things. And we can't adopt for ourselves a standard that doesn't make any sense. We just have to do as anybody would in any kind of media. We have to do our best. We have to do the best to be clear, objective, be fair to everybody, things like that. So that's maybe not the... There's no magic answer to the question, I guess. That's my answer.
Okay. Wikipedia is an open system. And my question is, if you have some more information about the social stratification, is it a project of middle classes? And which one are the more academics or not? Or can we say something about it? Because I think it's very difficult to find out who really posts in Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know who is, okay, I know who is right. Jimmy Wales, but...
yeah, and I'm not an expert on anything, so... You shouldn't, you know. I think one of the answers to that is a general encyclopedia is a type of reference work that doesn't necessarily need to have the same kind of traditional authority as, say, a textbook on emergency room medicine or something like that. And I go around a lot. I travel a lot, and I meet a lot of Wikipedians, and so I do know who a lot of the more prominent users are, and they're very much similar to the people in this room. A bunch of geeks, mostly male, mostly in their 20s and 30s, but we have people outside that range. And many of them are experts in a field that they edit in, but many of them are also, the classic example I like to give, and I actually want to do some research to sort of find some of these people so I can have better examples, but is the math professor who happens to be a World War II history buff. And so he's chosen a career path that he cannot publish his research or he has no outlet for his creative energies in this area that he's very interested in, and Wikipedia gives him that. But because he doesn't have a PhD in history, does that mean he can't write a general article about a certain battle or something like that? No. Some of our very best articles in the English Wikipedia are by a guy named, his Wikipedia name is Lord Emsworth. He writes about the British aristocracy. He's had about, the last count I looked was like 35 articles made it to featured article, which meant they went through a review process. It's more than anybody else. I read one of his great articles. They're very well written, very interesting. Other people, of course, edit them as well, but he's kind of the main driver on some of these. I had read one of them, and I just said, wow, this is really great. And I went to leave him a thank you note on his user page, and I found out he's 15 years old. And I was talking to some people in England, and they're like, yeah, and he doesn't even live in the UK. You know, I think he's an American kid. And so, you know, why is that? I mean, in any traditional model, you would never say, you would never ask Encyclopedia Britannica who wrote this article, and they say, well, it's a 15-year-old kid in Arizona. For us, that kind of thing doesn't work. But what does work is he's doing really good work. Other people are editing the articles and reviewing it and would find out if he's making up information. There would be a huge scandal, you know. He's got a reputation in the community that's worth defending. And so the way that we generate authority and quality is very different from the idea of you click on the history file and see who the author is. And that's not to say that the authors aren't qualified. It's just to say we don't approach it that way. So I guess that looks like the last question. Thank you all for coming. And I'll let somebody else have fun.